This is KRCU's Going Public. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Before the break, we heard Southeast Professor Dr. Khalid share some of the misconceptions about the Islamic faith with KRCU's Lindsay Grojean. We'll hear more about those misconceptions and his account of 9/11.
Another misconception is that Muslims don't treat women well.
Yes, that's what I have heard. And for a long time, I thought it that way. That when I came to the United States, you know, I was not raised here. I was born and raised in Pakistan. In our country, we have one group, like educated people. They treat women the way they're supposed to be, the way Islam teaches us. And there are some people who are non-educated. In those areas, women are not treated well. And if you talk about like countries like Afghanistan, where education is pretty low, and they're still in tribal life, the situation is different. But that has nothing to do with religion. The religion teaches us that you treat your women the best way possible. Prophet Muhammad said that the best among you is the one who treat their family best possible way. And he said, I'm the best among you, that he said about himself, the way he treated his family. And he said about women, that about mothers, a mother has the highest rating in the hierarchy of relationship. And then about wives, that's what I treat them the best way you can. About daughters, he said, those who have daughters and they raise them well, and then they will be with Prophet Muhammad in the heavens. So treating women is not, if they don't treat well, it's not Islamic, it's their culture. And that's when I thought that women were treated well here. I watch football. So every Sunday I watch in the fall and early spring. So I was watching football, and my wife, she doesn't watch it, but she was doing something. She walked by and she said, what are these women doing in these scantily clad? Who are they? Are they playing? So I said, no, they are not playing. They are cheerleaders. She said, why are they wearing so tiny clothes? All the men are wearing full clothes, and the women are they like this, and they're scantily clad because to make men happy or what? So that's disgrace for women. So she thought that was disgrace, and I said, that's probably true, and well, I don't have any control. So that was, I found very interesting.
Yes.
That's how she perceived.
Mm-hmm. And I met your wife. She's a wonderful lady. And she, I remember, she spoke out a little bit during your presentation, and she had said that women are equal to men in your faith.
That's true. I mean, you know, that's how we think. That we are, actually, we consider partners. That we are partners, we are complement to each other. So we work together. Protectors of each other. So that's how the Quran teaches us. And so, I mean, the Quran does not say that you mistreat your women. And in fact, sometimes I find that it's a little bit mistreatment here. And the recent example is I was listening to NPR last week or 2 weeks ago when they were talking about Fox News, and there a lot of women are leaving because of sexual misconduct and all those things. And on a Diane Rehm show, that's what I was listening to. But they were talking about what happened, and one woman said, one of the panelists on that show said, oh, women were not allowed to wear pants. So I thought, that's very interesting, and now they're forcing women to wear certain dress.
Yeah, they made them wear skirts or...
And it's a very short, and so they can get higher rating or more. I said, that's not something right. This is a mistreatment of women. I mean, using women, their bodies. I mean, you know, if you have women who come in and they are good intellectually or good presenters and they get viewers, then I would say, yes, that's a good use. But showing their bodies is just like, you know, those scantily clad cheerleaders. And these are similar circumstances. That's not a good treatment. That's what, you know, that's a mistreatment here. Now they're blaming other people.
And Muslim women dress very moderately.
Yes.
So it's to bring respect to themselves.
That's right. Uh-huh. And that's what somebody said. I mean, you know, if you love us, don't love us because we look sexy, like because we have a brain. And there was another incident. So in France, some Muslim women, they were wearing
the burkini,
and yes. Police forced them, find them, and they forced them to take off their clothes. Why? If somebody's wearing these teeny tiny thongs, they say, oh, yeah, that's fine. But if somebody's wearing more, that's, no, you cannot be modest here. You have to show your body. So that's, I mean, you know, forcing to do certain things, that's, I don't think that's the right treatment.
Are there any other misconceptions that you would like to myth bust for us?
Common misconception that Muslims believe in Allah and Christians believe in the God. And those Christians who live in the Middle East who speak Arabic, they use the word Allah because that's their language. So Allah is in Arabic. God is in English. El Dios or Dios is in Hispanic. And I think Bhagwan is in Hindi. So they're different names. But calling that Allah is different from the God is not correct.
Has that happened in a lot of parts of your faith? People thinking that things are different from what they believe by words that you use?
Definitely. I mean, this is one thing. And since you mentioned that, I mean, I have not had that experience personally, but some other people, when they use the word Allahu Akbar, which is, I mean, if you say that at the airport, I don't think they'll let you go on board. So you can be in big trouble. And some people had to leave the planes if they used the word. In fact, one incident happened a couple of weeks ago. And Allahu Akbar just means glory to the God or God is great. So that's all it means, nothing else.
So to wrap things up, could you tell me a little bit about your experiences with 9/11? When the attack did happen, what was that experience like for you?
That was a very interesting experience. I wasn't here at that time. We had a conference in Spain. So from College of Education, maybe 10, 12 faculty members, we were all in Madrid. Yes, and the conference was about culture of peace. I think that is, if I remember correctly. And we had people from all over the world for that conference. So, and I think September 11th, that the day I had my presentation. So after my presentation, I came out. I did not know what happened. And so I was leaving in the afternoon, and I saw that people are sitting in a big auditorium watching TV. So I just stood at the door, and I saw they were showing that a plane was hitting. I thought, it's showing New York something. I said, oh, they're watching movie. So I walked out, and I had to buy a little alarm clock that day. So I went to downtown and bought my alarm clock. And when I was leaving, the shopkeeper said, are you from the United States? Somehow he recognized me. I said, yes. They said, do you know that there was a terrorist attack? I said, what? I was shocked. And I said, no, that must be an accident. I didn't believe it. And then I went to a nearby mall and saw on TV what happened. I mean, I don't speak Spanish, so I didn't understand most of it, but I could see what was happening. But because of that, I could not leave the country. I had to stay there for another week.
Thank you for coming in today, Dr. Khalid.
Thank you. I appreciate it that you gave me an opportunity to explain.
That's our show. A special thanks to Dr. Tashin Khalid, a professor in the Department of Elementary, Early, and Special Education at Southeast, and KRCU's Lindsay Grogeen. You can find their discussion on the misconceptions of the Islamic faith on our website at krcu.org or find us on iTunes. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Tune in next week for another edition of KRCU's Going Public.